Okay, Texans, 24-21. Losers yesterday. They lose to the Colts, and of course, they jumped out to that 7-0 lead. Indianapolis blitzkriegs them in the second quarter. Excuse me.
Yeah, you're right. It's contagious.
What's going on?
It's contagious. There's something in the air.
Ellie said, I tell you what, part of the problem is it's like a sweat box.
Yeah, I like it cold in here, man. But we got to keep Ellie happy because she likes it hot.
Yeah, well, she's gone in 21 minutes, so right. You know what? The motto of my life, just keep me happy long enough, and then it's on to the next. Okay, so here is the deal. What an opportunity. As bad as the Texans played yesterday, and of course, you know, the takeaway is that they played poorly and they still only lost by 3 points. And let's not, and I know it's easy to pile on Jadeveon Clowney because obviously the jumping off sides at the very end of the game is the last thing that we remember from that ball game. But as been said before, a lot of things led to them being down 24-21.
Right.
I mean, Jadeveon Clowney didn't help yesterday, and obviously that's the way the game ended. Is that's the last thing we're all going to take away from if that's the last thing you remember from the game. But to me, the bigger issue was your offense was non-existent. At home, your offense could get nothing going. For the however many games this year we've seen.
I guess the defense that has been vulnerable. I mean, they've had some good.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that this is the Colts defense from, you know, back in its championship days, you know, where you had Bob Sanders patrolling the middle of the field.
Right.
And I can't, somebody might have tweeted this out, or I heard somebody saying this morning. I mean, you know, outside of Darius Leonard, can anybody name anybody on the second, you know, unless you're just a diehard football fan, can you name anybody in the Colts secondary?
It is one of those no-name defenses, no doubt about it.
You know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, so they, you know, you look at this defense. I mean, here's the thing that's funny, too, is this team's playing better defense with an offensive-minded coach than they ever did with Chuck Pagano, who is a defensive-minded coach.
Well, part of that might be he's letting the defensive coordinator just do his deal.
Right.
You know, and that tends to work a lot of times, too. Look, the whole thing about this game, we say how bad the Texans looked, and they did have moments where they looked awful. I think it came down to, look, if you're going to blame Jadeveon Clowney, you're blaming the wrong guy. He was just the exclamation point at the end.
There you go.
When you had one more chance and you were like, well, maybe. He was just the exclamation point. It was dumb, but that's not what you lost because you could not cover T.Y. Hilton and you could not get your offense going. That's why you lost.
I'm getting more and more confused by this Bill O'Brien decision to punt from the 38-yard line rather than attempt a 55-yarder. I'm about to tweet out this information. But this season, Kyami Fairbairn is 3-for-5 on field goals over 55 yards. He hasn't missed a field goal over 50 at NRG, and he made a 53-yarder and a 54-yarder. So in that situation, why would you not kick the 55-yard field goal? I'm not going to fault it because Bill O'Brien, I would just like to hear what the line of thinking is there because Fairbairn has shown that he can make it there.
You already know what his answer is going to be.
What's he going to say? I don't know.
No, he's going to say.
He's already used that.
No, because I'm going to tell you what he's going to say. It's an opportunity to flip the field. Because they had played pretty good defense. I mean, they only gave up a touchdown in the second half to the Indianapolis Colts. His line of thinking will be, our job is to pin them deep in their own territory. We get them to force a punt, and now we get the ball back in good position, and now we can try to score.
But would you rather do that than cut the lead to 7 and then kick off to them? You know what I'm saying? Like,
listen, you're preaching to the choir here.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to tell you what he's going to say.
Okay.
That they want to put their defense, you know, that they want to make it hard for them, and they want to put them deep in their own territory and leave it up to their defense, and he's going to use something to the effect of, you know, our defense has played pretty well this year, and we've done this time and time again, and our, you know, we're good at special teams, we're good at defense. So
right.
this is what the game plan calls for. I mean, that's what he's going to tell you. I mean, he's not going to come with anything, you know, otherworldly than that.
I mean, I don't want to just sit here and criticize him just to criticize him, but I want to understand.
Well, it's certainly a fair question.
I want to understand the method to the madness.
Yeah,
I mean, when the guy's made a 53 and 54 yarder and hasn't missed.
Is Jeremy at the press conference today?
Yeah, but I don't know. Jeremy might be on his best behavior.
Jeremy's a bulldog. Listen, Jeremy Branham is scared of no man.
He is.
Okay. I want Jeremy to ask about this. Jeremy is listening.
JB, if you're listening, 713-572-4610. You already know the number.
You're already in the doghouse. Might as well.
Might as well. Just keep on. Keep on keeping on. The hope is that after he asks that question, B.O.B. says, is this the best question we've got?
That would be great.
Oh. I mean, I think it's a logical question.
Of course
it
is.
I will buy, I'm telling you right now, I will buy Jeremy Branham lunch if he asks that question.
He will take you up on it.
And also, why the hell would you trust your defense at that point? Like, I mean, they're going to have
Andrew Luck is just dicing you.
They're
going
to have to stop them regardless. So, yes, you punt it inside the 10, but you're still going to have to stop them from getting first downs at least a couple times. So if your field goal kicker hasn't missed from that, maybe he has a pulled hamstring or something like that. Maybe they left a little crack open in there because and there was a little bit more wind than there usually is. I'm obviously saying that kidding.
In the roof?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they can talk about the wind. It's a freaking dome.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. And he also kicked a 54-yarder in Washington.
Yeah.
And that was outdoors.
Could be the Kiki Kuti factor.
Kiki Kuti?
Just everybody. Hamstrings for everybody.
How about Tyron returning some punts? Or catching the
ball? That's what he did at LSU.
Yeah, catching the ball.
I didn't even have a choice.
Yeah.
you were in a bad way.
What's wrong with Sammy Coates?
He must be terrible.
Or do they just not trust him in the slot?
Yeah, that was what we were talking about. He couldn't line up in the slot, so that could be it.
But if you can't,
you got to be better than Joe Webb, right?
I mean, Joe Webb, you know, the old Ted Johnson line, he did the best with what
God gave him. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it comes down to why can't you put DeAndre in the slot?
That's easy to double team, for one.
I mean, that's a good question. Fair enough.
Is it, though?
Well, because it's harder to get to the sideline, and DeAndre on the sideline, as we know, is...
Yeah, but what about DeAndre on slants?
No, look, it's not like he won't get open.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And at the very least, okay, because here's the reality of it. Who's seen it before?
Yeah.
It's not like they do it on the regular. So you put number 10 in the slot, all of a sudden and you're putting DeAndre up against their third corner?
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden it's opening things up. I mean, to me,
they did lack some creativity offensively.
See, they regressed to the mean yesterday. And you said it in the text message this morning. This team went back to being 0-3 Texans yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Well, they showed some of the characteristics, some of the same flaws.
You know, offensively, this team took a step back yesterday as badly as they looked.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Someone just said get out in front.
Oh, you got to. That's... No, what I can't wrap my brain around, when you've got Demaryius Thomas on one side, you've got DeAndre Hopkins on the other, you've got tight ends who, by the way, didn't look too bad yesterday between the three of them. You had over 100 and, I want to say, 50 yards?
Yeah, that was the strength of the team. They couldn't run. I mean, you talk about regressing to what they were on the first three games of the year. That was one. They couldn't run the ball. And that happened a lot during the first three games.
See, this is what I don't understand. This is where... And I was thinking about this yesterday because I was watching I was going back and forth between the Chiefs, Ravens, and the Texans Colts game yesterday. Mm-hmm. All right, when you can't run the ball, see this is my biggest issue with B.O.B. And this is where, to me, I think he needs an offensive coordinator because just name Sean Ryan and Tim Kelly, whatever the hell they're doing. I mean, I know they got positions that they coach up, but if they're going to be your de facto coordinators, then name them that. This is where, if the run game's not working, then adjust. Then figure out, okay, right, we better do something differently because, A, Deshaun's holding on to the ball too long. B, he's getting killed back there. And C, none of the plays we're calling are getting guys open.
As bad as the Texans running game, this speaks directly to what you're talking about. As bad as the Texans running game was yesterday, the Colts was a lot worse. I think the Texans had 89 yards rushing and the Colts had 50. But what did the Colts do? Exactly what you're talking about. You know, now Ebron helped with T.Y. Hilton a lot, getting T.Y. open. But so did something called Zach Pascal.
Yeah.
He had like 15 catches going into yesterday's game and had 5 yesterday. So whatever Frank Reich was doing was exactly what you're talking about that Bill O'Brien did not do.
There's enough talent on this football team. Just at the time, I mean, listen, Ryan Griffin, God bless him, ever since we dogged him out about a month ago, he's actually been pretty serviceable since the bye week.
That 47-yard catch was the biggest play. I mean, that
kept him in the game.
That gave you hope.
It kept him in the game.
That gave you hope. That 47-yard catch that resulted in the Hopkins touchdown?
The two Jordans, you're tight. I mean, you mean to tell me, and if you got to line up all three at the same time, who cares? Because I'm going to tell you what, I would venture to say right now, and I never thought I'd say this in a million years.
I know what you're
going to
say. Can I guess?
What?
You're going to say Ryan Griffin's better in the slot than Joe Webb. Did I guess it?
Am I wrong?
No, because he's used to that position.
Right?
I mean, does he know what he's doing?
Exactly.
He's been off the end of the line as well.
Whether it's him, Jordan Akins, who they're finally figuring out how to use, okay? Because Jordan Akins might be the best pure receiver of the three.
When he had 41 yards receiving on that first scoring drive. 41.
I'm telling you, Jordan Akins, when it comes to just, like, if you're looking like old school tight ends, it's Jordan Thomas, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Jordan Thomas is just a galoot of
a
human
Madden
being, right?
Player.
He really is. Yeah. He really is, okay? Ryan Griffin is what he is, and Jordan Akins is probably the best pure, quote-unquote, maybe playmaker/receiver of the three.
Right.
Okay? Then if you know that Kiki Coutee's unreliable, if you know that DeAndre Carter is susceptible to getting hurt, why should it be that your offense is now predicated upon Joe Webb
succeeding?
Because I'm going to tell you what, outside of two touchdowns against, who was it a couple weeks ago that they our boy Demaryius scored two touchdowns against?
That was last week.
Was it last week or the week before?
It was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Why can't we think of it?
It was against the Titans.
Was it against Titans? Okay. Yeah. So outside of that and a couple wide receiver screens, mm-hmm. Demaryius Thomas, for what he is supposed to be, to me, has been very lackluster in this offense. Mm-hmm. Okay. And again, I'm not saying that he was going to give you Will Fuller type stuff. Okay. But really, what's he giving you outside of a red zone threat?
He had a couple good plays yesterday. I will say this. If you're going to throw that sideways pass that everybody hates so much, throw it to him. He's the best.
He's the best at the sideways pass.
The old getting them in space thing?
He is the Nuke Hopkins is not the sideways pass guy. No. That would be Demaryius if you're going to do that.
No, that dude's a pro at that play.
And Deshaun kind of missed him on a bomb, too, that I thought could have ended up being like a 50-yard touchdown. So, I'm with you on that. He also missed Nuke Hopkins. It looked like Nuke Hopkins kind of squared it off, and Deshaun just threw it out of the end zone. Didn't even give him a chance to make a play.
Yeah.
Deshaun hadn't been throwing the deep ball very well.
Mm-hmm. Deshaun hadn't been playing. And part of it is, too.
He missed a lot.
No. Deshaun yesterday did not look good. And maybe it was because they've been doing this kind of measured approach over the last few weeks, and yesterday was a deal where, and maybe it was. You wonder, too. I mean, listen, Deshaun Watson's a human. You wonder, too, if he sees what his peers are doing.
Right.
And you can't, I'm not accusing him of this or saying he's necessarily wrong for doing it, but this guy has been a playmaker his whole life. And you wonder if sometimes maybe these last few, maybe yesterday was being one of those days where he sees what Andrew Luck's doing on the other side and says to himself, okay, it's going to be that kind of game today? All right, bet. I got you. And unfortunately, here's the difference. Andrew Luck's been chucking it 50 times every week. All right, so chucking it 55 times for Andrew Luck is just what he does.
Right.
Right now, that's not part of the gig for Deshaun Watson. And so that's, there's going to have to be a happy medium because, listen, I get it, you want to run the ball. But here's the problem. In the playoffs, it's going to be that kind of game yesterday where you're going to have to chuck it 40, 45
that's
times.
That's exactly right.
Okay?
Playoffs?
Yep,
because I'm going to tell you right now. Pat Mahomes threw 55 times yesterday. How many times did Brady throw it yesterday? How many times did Roethlisberger's in the 40 to 50 range yesterday? Okay, this team has shown that usually they're not that great when Deshaun Watson has to chuck the ball that many times. You're going to have to figure out
when they know he's going to.
When you know he's going to. Well, guess what? In the playoffs, you know he's going to have to do it because your running game is not good enough to where it's scaring anybody. And right now, it's almost to a point where you're saying to yourself, you know what? Let's make Deshaun Watson beat us.
Yeah. And you're also saying, you know what? Maybe the urgency to bring up Deontay Foreman has increased because of what you saw yesterday.
Why didn't you bring him yesterday? That was baffling to me.
I know that he thought he was going to be playing.
We've already reached the point where
I think we all thought he was going to be playing right?
He was at the hotel with them. He thought he was playing.
Well, here's the thing. Now you have three games left, man.
So you got to see what he can do.
No, I think it's almost to the point where they're like, well, can't play him now.
No, you have to.
No, you got to get him carried.
No, I agree that I wish they would, but three games left in the regular season when you're going to throw him out there.
You have to.
Well, no, and I'm...
How many coaches would agree with what you just said? I'm not saying it's wrong.
Then don't activate him.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Why did you activate him if you didn't have any intention on playing him yesterday?
I mean, this isn't a guy that has, a lot of NFL experience and you can plug and play.
But this is the other thing about Deontay Foreman that I like, because he only had one good year at the University of Texas, and we saw him show signs last year on the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
He can run good behind crappy O-lines.
Of course.
Texas did not have a good O-line his final year there, and we all know how bad the O-line was last year. He had two touchdowns against the Cardinals. I don't know that if the run blocking's good, I think Lamar Miller can do his thing, but I think Deontay Foreman can run better behind bad offensive lines than the other two running backs.
I mean, Lamar Miller's had a good run. We can't, you know, just because he had a bad day yesterday.
Yeah, but what he said after the game was silly, too. Let's get into that at 11 as
all
well.
All right, let's do it. I was going to say.
Okay.
Let's hear what Lamar, because I love Lamar Miller sound
bites. They need to quit interviewing him now.
No, I think we should. I think he should have his own show. Listen, when we return, Lamar, all the Lamar Miller you can take, and that's a big thing to take, and Bill O'Brien, second out of the program. Don't go anywhere.